Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
So we have two words that our Lord uses in the gospel today that I want to highlight a bit. And the first of them is glory. Jesus speaks about his glory, that he's going to be glorified. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. God is glorified in him, and God will also glorify him in himself. Glory, glorified, glorified. And so what is our Lord talking about? His glory that he's going to experience. Now's the time. And it was right after Judas left. This is the Last Supper. This is the scene that this is taking place in. So Judas leaves. Jesus turns to the 11 that are remaining and says, now is the time that I will be glorified. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about going to the cross. He's talking about being lifted up on the cross. He's talking about coming to that moment of incredible difficulty and passing the test and taking all of your sins and my sins upon himself and accomplishing this great redemption. And it is his moment of what? It's his moment of glory. So he anticipates, now I am to be glorified. Doesn't sound very glorious, though, does it? But it is. It is. I was reading a story recently about an Olympian. And this was a little girl named Carrie Strug. Some of y'all might remember her. It's been a few years ago, 1996. In 1996, she was part of the Olympic gymnastic team. And it was, you know, they were on the cusp of winning the team gold medal. And she tore two ligaments in her foot. And she was in great pain. And the coach said, you got to give me one more vault. And so she hobbled out there, right? And she ran down the track. And she hit that vault. And she flew up in the air. And she landed on her broken foot. Remember that? You think it hurt? And that was her moment of what? Now, the glory of Jesus. What's your moment of glory? You know, when we stand up to temptation, when we stand up to trial, when we face the many hardships. Now, did y'all get that? Did y'all get that in the first reading? That it is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And when you and I face the hardships of this life, the trials and the temptations and the sufferings, and we remain true, that's glory. Glory to God in the highest, not glory to me. May I give my glory to God. So Jesus speaks to us today about his glory. God is glorified in him. And then the second thing that Jesus mentions in the gospel tonight is this new commandment. I give you a new commandment. Now, this is right before the Last Supper. He is about to be crucified. Has he not given this commandment before that they have to love each other? Has he not heard of this in the Old Testament, that God in the Old Testament commanded that we love one another? This isn't new. How can it be new? How can Jesus be saying, I give you tonight, this day, a new commandment? I'm going to read it. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. And then he gives us what's new about it. As I have loved you. as I have loved you, so you should love one another. So the love of Jesus that he commands us to give to one another. You know, love has many facets. Love has many elements. There's different kinds of loves and there's different degrees of love. And we live in a world where there's a lot of confusion about what love is and how can we love and what does it mean to love. And I think it goes without saying that every mother wants to love her children, right? Every mother wants to love her children. And I'm going to bring you back to many years ago. I was in a psychology class. I was a freshman or a sophomore in college. I don't remember exactly which, but it was a long time ago. And I took a psychology class, and we were learning about children's development. And the psychology professor stood in front of the class and was talking to us about the state of affairs in Mississippi. And the state of affairs in Mississippi is that we had the highest infant mortality rate, and that we had the most children living in poverty, and that we had the most children born out of wedlock, and we had a number of other things that weren't good necessarily realities, but they were the realities. And he was explaining to me and to the rest of the class some of the challenges that we face in Mississippi. And I was incredulous. You know what that word means? It means I didn't believe it. I found it hard to believe when he told us this. He said to the class, you know, there are mothers out there who feed their children candy bars because that's what they want and aren't aware of the fact that they're not as nutritious as fruits and vegetables and stuff. That's what they give them for breakfast before they go to school. That's what they get when they come home. Candy bars, snacks, and that's what they eat all the time because that's what they want. I found it hard to believe that a parent couldn't understand that fruits and vegetables and a balanced diet were necessary for a child to grow and to learn. As I was giving this homily this morning, there was an elementary school teacher that was sitting out there who I knew that was her job. She was shaking her head at me. Don't you doubt it for one second. But you know, to love a child means we have to know what's good for the child, right? To properly love them. It's not just to satisfy their whims and their wants and to make them happy by giving them a candy bar. That's not it, is it? You know, and I was thinking about another conversation I was having, and I know I'm probably going to step on a few toes today, but it's part of my job too. I was talking to somebody about some of their children, their child, you know, fourth grader, fifth grader, and their child's friends all have, or many of them have their own phone. And on their own phone, they can access anything on the internet with no supervision, with no, like, checking on them, with no parental guidance. How can someone not know that that's horrible for a child? That's worse than giving them candy bars for breakfast every day. What does it mean to, this is the commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ, to love one another as I have loved you. And so we are called to love one another, to love our children, to love ourselves as Jesus Christ loved us. And we are confused about what love is. And I could probably stand up here Sunday after Sunday, and I want to convince you, I want to convict you, I would like to teach you that God loves you, but not in a permissive kind of way that lets you do whatever you want. It's the love of a father who wants to guide his children into the path of righteousness and holiness and self-control. And so Jesus Christ says, I love you. And now you have to love one another, what? As I have loved you. And how did he love us? He loved us to the death. He loved us to the end. He poured out his life for us. One of the big problems that we have in our society today is that love is reduced to an emotion. But Jesus makes it a commandment. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. We tend to think of love as nothing more than good feelings, warm emotions. And for sure, it includes that. But it is so much more. We have to harness those feelings for the good of the other. I want to take you back again to the Garden of Eden, right? To the Garden of Eden. It is in the Garden of Eden where God created Adam and Eve. And we have to ask ourselves again, why did God create us? He created us to love us. He created us out of love. He scooped up the dirt of the ground. He breathed his life into it. He is love, and he created us out of love. And St. Paul teaches us that it's not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us. What is love? What is it? What does it mean? St. Paul has this beautiful kind of poetic writing about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And most of you have heard this, and you've probably heard it many times, but I'm going to read it for you again tonight. St. Paul says, if I speak in human and angelic tongues but do not have love, I am a resounding gong and a clashing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and have all knowledge, and I have all faith so that I may move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything that I own and I hand over my body that I might boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It is not conceited. It's not full of itself. It's not inflated. It's not rude. It doesn't seek its own interests. It's not selfish. It's not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. He goes on to say, when I was a child, I used to talk as a child and think as a child and reason as a child. But when I became a man, I put aside childish things. At present, we see indistinctly, but then we will see face to face. At present, I know partially, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. So faith, hope, and love remain, these three, but the greatest of them is love. And we are commanded by God to love. Love in patience and kindness. Love in self-giving and forgiveness. And we have to grow up. We have to grow up and not be like children. When I was a child, I talked as a child and thought as a child and reasoned as a child. But now, if I'm going to love, I have to love like an adult. And so, Lord, teach me to love. And so Jesus says, my children, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And so Jesus teaches us about love too. In his glory. And what is his glory? What is it? When does he teach us about love in his glory? When he goes to the cross. And what does that cross teach us? The cross is a scene of authentic love. It is a sacrifice of self. It gives life meaning to give to the other. It is a love where Jesus is hanging on the cross in his glory, forgiving the crowd in front of him, forgiving the thief next to him. It is a love that gives his own mother as our mother. Behold your mother. It is the love that does not fail. It is the love that endures. And it is the love that Jesus wants us to have in us. Can you love like Jesus loves? Was it a suggestion or a commandment? And you know something? If Jesus commands it, he will give the grace to fulfill it. So do you love as God loves? Say, I'm trying, Father Mike. I'm trying. I'm trying. trying, but I'm still a little bit impatient, a little bit unkind, a little bit selfish. I don't always forgive like I should, right? But I'm trying. And we stand before the cross. We stand before the glory of Jesus Christ, and we look upon him in his glory, and we pray that we could love as he loved. You ever pray that? Because you see, to love as Jesus Christ loves is a supernatural gift. What does supernatural mean? It means above our nature. See, we have our natural capacity to love. And Jesus commands us to love as he loves. And then we say, I can't do it. And he says, then let me do it in you. Let me live in you. And so the love of God has to dwell in us. And how does it get into us? It gets into us by his grace. He pours it out upon us. So we receive the love of God through the sacraments, through his word, through humble obedience to his command, through saying, today I want to love better than I loved yesterday. Today I want to know how to love my children, my wife, my parishioners, my friends, my parents. So how do we live the love that Paul teaches about, that Jesus teaches us about? Love calls husbands and wives and mothers and fathers to forgive each other from the heart. Forgive. And you know, forgiveness is a choice. It's a commitment. It's a decision. Love calls husbands and wives to be open to life. For their marriages to be open. For the sake of the life of the child. That the child would come to know God and give glory to God. Love calls families, yes, the family, to be the leaven of the world, to bring the world up. Love calls priests like me to teach the fullness of the faith, even when the teachings are difficult. Love calls men to give up the great good of marriage and enter into the church to serve her as a clergy. Love calls women and men to the religious life. Sin is a violation of God's law and love. Love calls mothers to give their bodies for their children. Love calls us to be vulnerable. Love calls us to risk, to give, to step out in faith. Love calls young people to respect their bodies. To respect their body as purchased by God and to be able to give their body whole and complete to their husband or wife on the day of their marriage. That's love. And that's supernatural. And God has to give that to us. And it is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, right? It's necessary for us to run down that track, right? And hit the vault and go up in the air, right? And land. And it's difficult sometimes, isn't it? But that's our moment of what? That's our glory. And God will give us all we need if we stand before him and seek to love. It wasn't a suggestion. My children, I'll be with you only a little while longer, and I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Do not be deceived. You can do it with God's help. Do not be deceived. Do not sell yourself short. You can be a lover after the model of Jesus Christ, who loved us and went into his glory. Faith, hope, and love, supernatural. So we have to mature. We have to mature past candy bars and iPhones and permissiveness and thinking that's love. No, love is discipline. Love is courage. Love is kindness and patience. Love is generosity, and it has many facets. Requires knowledge and wisdom and growth and common sense. My brothers and sisters, today Jesus talks to us about love, where there's a lot of confusion in the world about what love is. Jesus talks to us about his glory. There's a lot of confusion in the world about what his glory is. So I say to you again, echoing Jesus, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you.